everybody. Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Hi. Good to see you all. I remember the first well that I went to was like 15 years ago or so. I am old. And they talked about encounter, experience, and respond to God. And I remember thinking, that is like the audacity of thinking like that you're going to encounter God in this place. And then I came to experience what I'm still experiencing tonight, which is that is a real thing that can happen just by us creating a little time and space and asking for God to like meet us here in some way. And that's awesome and amazing. Tonight, I get to, I have the great pleasure of introducing one of my absolute favorite humans on the planet. And Sarah, to me, is like an iceberg because sometimes upon first glance, you might think, you know, you see the gentleness and you see the love and you see the care that comes across, but you don't always see the depth of wisdom that is unbelievable in this person, or the tenacity of someone who's really willing to wrestle the hard questions and hold on to God with, like, you know, everything she's got. And it's amazing. It's a huge gift to be your friend. And I am really excited for the word that you have to share with us tonight. Everybody, welcome Sarah.
That is probably the best like intro I've ever gotten in my entire life. Also, when she said the word wisdom, my father snickers. So that's fun. But like Mallory said, my name is Sarah, and I work here at IU. I've been a part of the well community for a while, and I also work in housing. So if you didn't get the room you wanted, it wasn't my fault. Okay, I'm so sorry. But I get to talk about something really cool tonight, which I'm really excited about. But it's also kind of a little bit of a heavy topic. So to start off, Mallory comes to me and she says, "Hey, Sarah, I'd love for you to preach the well. How do you feel about that?" I'm like, "Oh, cool. Yeah, like I can talk about Jesus. Like he's my homie." So she goes, "So it's going to be on Micah 6:8, and all I'm going to give you is the words, do justice." I'm like, oh, okay. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is around this theme of doing justice and kind of what that looks like and what God wants us to really step into. So the verse that she gave me was Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So pray with me. Yeah, so God, you invite us into this space tonight to talk about something that has a little bit more weight. But that's one thing I love about you, is we can come and ask those difficult questions. We can talk about those things that kind of stir those feelings of uneasiness in us. But those feelings are feelings that have a purpose. So God, I just pray tonight that as we dig into this topic, that what you've kind of brought forward for me on this really gets to touch the hearts and the minds of those sitting in this room. And that we can kind of go out and just continue to do things with you, continue to love you, and continue to walk with you. In your name, amen. So justice, right? This is like a big thing, and it can mean a lot of different things. So like any good person does, the first thing I thought of, where do I see justice at and in my wisdom? I refer to the good old Justice League. Movie just came out, and disclaimer, I am not endorsing this movie. It was not well made. I'm sorry, DC, you will never have the ability that Marvel does when it comes to doing superhero movies. So you can watch it if you really feel so led to, but I'm just going to tell you right now, save your time. But for the purpose of this sermon, it works really, really well. So if you aren't familiar with the Justice League, essentially Superman in Superman versus Batman, which is our prequel to this, they're trying to save the day, Superman dies. And that's really unfortunate. But in a selfless act, he sacrifices himself. So now we're in this time where evil has come again, and good old Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Batman, and Wonder Woman, Diana Prince, come together and to face this evil, to face this threat. So together, Batman and Wonder Woman, they work quickly, and they're like, all right, we need a team. So who do we know? Who do you want to bring in on this to kind of help us out? Because, you know, Bruce Wayne had a lot of superpowers there. But, so we bring together this team to save the planet from catastrophic failure and demise. We got a video for you to kind of fill you in, just in case if that wasn't a good enough synopsis for you.
Yeah! We have to be ready. You, me, the others. There's an attack coming from far away.
Not coming, Bruce. It's already here. The others. Where are they?
Arthur Curry. The Aquaman. Zone him.
Organic and biomechatronic body parts. He's a cyborg.
You should probably move.
Barry Allen.
Whoever you're looking for, it's not me. You're the Batman?
They said the Age of Heroes would never come again.
It has to.
Superpowers again?
I'm rich.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
My turn.
Come together.
Shall we?
It's good to see you playing well with others again.
Just like a bat. I dig it.
Maybe temporary.
Yeah!
Trailer makes the movie look really great, right? That's essentially the movie, so I saved you the time of watching it. But we have these characters, right? Okay, so these are our heroes. These are the ones that are stepping up. They're about to, like, fight this huge battle, right, that we're encountering. But I think they each give us a really good idea of, like, what justice is. Also, they, like, totally went with, like, yeah, that'll be our name as a team. So we've got these characters here. Number one, we've got Superman. So he does show up, spoiler alert, in this movie again. But what's really cool is I love the connection that we can make between Superman and Jesus Christ. So we've got, so we're in the last movie, he died sacrificing himself for the people that he loves, people that he cares for. And essentially, at that point in time, when he's alive, he's doing justice, he's fighting evil. Half the people like him, they think he's great, like, awesome, he's our hero. The other side's like, oh yeah, I don't know about this guy, like, I don't trust him, I think he's, you know, nonsense. But there he goes, he dies, sacrifices himself for all the people, just like Jesus did. And all of a sudden, once he's gone and they see that sacrifice, everybody's on Team Superman. They're like, oh wow, like, this guy really cared for us, he was fighting for us, like, he did really great things. And so he comes back and is resurrected in this movie by the other heroes. So I think that's a really cool image that we get from Superman and just kind of his sacrifice and how he, like, died for the world and then comes back. But the rest of these characters up here, they're each fighting for something, and they're fighting for a certain reason. That's how they got to this place, right? So we've got Batman. He's rich, he, like, fights crime, saving those, but we know in his history, his father and mother were killed in the streets by criminals, and that's kind of where it all started. So that's his cause, is there's people out there that are hurting families, they're breaking families apart, and I'm not going to stand for that anymore. So he uses his resources to kind of fight that battle. We've got Wonder Woman. She's got her lasso of truth. She's a woman, which I think is awesome, girl power. But women, most of the time, can be viewed as the weaker of the two genders. But I think it's really inspiring that she just learns to really step into her leadership and say, like, no, I can be a really BA woman who's going to come out, and I'm going to do this for my people. We got Aquaman. So Aquaman comes up, and they encounter him in this time where he is in this little fishing village. He can talk to fish, like, underwater. Like, he's, like, the king of the sea. But he's in this little village in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's ice, there's snow. It's a small fishing village. And his purpose is, I'm helping these people. These people that are unseen, that they're in the nowhere, like, he goes out, fishes for them, brings them food. And there's one line in the movie where Batman goes, like, why are you here helping these people? And he says, like, somebody has to. So that's a really awesome kind of his stance of coming up, and he's just fighting for those that, like, nobody really is taking any notice of. The Flash, super awesome character. I like him because he's a little bit more of the introvert, so he's like, yeah, I'll be a part of this team, but, like, I'll, like, stand over here, like, really quickly, and when you need me, I'll come right back. But the Flash, his history is his father was accused for the murder of his mother, unrightfully so. So his father's in jail. He goes and he visits him. He's, like, fighting for him. And he's now made it his mission to where I'm going to get into the criminal justice system. I'm going to, like, fix this. This is wrong. Like, I know you didn't do this. You know you didn't do this. And the father's like, no, just give up. Like, leave me. And he's like, no, I'm going to fight for you. So he has his cause there. And the Cyborg is really interesting. He was a football star in high school, going and fighting for, you know, like, oh, look at all my achievements. But his dad's a scientist and really doesn't care. He doesn't even come to his football games. And by, like, a freak accident in the lab due to his father, he becomes fused with this technology. And so it kind of gives us a cool personification of, like, where we're going right now in time, of, like, technology is starting to overtake our lives and how it's starting to kind of overtake his body and control him. But he continues to fight against that. So kind of that relationship between humanity and technology. So that's a really cool thing that we can kind of, like, make these connections of. They each have a cause they're fighting for. There's something they're super passionate about because of their personal life experience, and that's now informing their new decisions. So let's dig back into Micah, because, again, that's, like, one verse that's, like, woo. But there's a lot of stuff that comes before that. So to give you a little, like, Micah 101, he's a prophet. We've talked about prophets time here at the Well. And so he comes with this word for the people. And anytime God does that, he's like, hey, I'm trying to nudge you and tell you, like, kind of getting a little over here. We need to get back over here. So Micah, speaking to the people of Israel, who were a people that were oppressed. God came, freed them from Egypt. Now they are free from slavery. Awesome. They're, like, back on top, and, like, they're God's chosen people, right? But unfortunately, sometimes the oppressed then become the oppressors. You get this freedom, and it can get to you, the power and the greed. So Israel decides, we're going to rebel. It's been 500 years. They've kind of been getting away from the desire of what God has for them and how God wants them to live. So Micah comes in, and he just really just starts, like, dropping some truth bombs on the people. Talks about how the wealthy have really become the thieves. They're stealing from those that have nothing. And they've taken this power, and it's really blinded them from what God really wants for them. And so he then moves into this idea where we get to see what's to come. So that's the prophecy part. He's saying to the people, okay, someone's going to come. They're kind of going to get everything right back in line. Spoiler alert, it's Jesus. So this king is going to come, and he's going to be all-powerful, and he's going to be awesome, and he's going to do all these things, and he's going to change the world. And the world is going to be rid of evil, and it's going to be gone. And, like, we're going to have new life, and, like, he's going to do all these things. And the people are like, okay, like, awesome. Somebody's going to come in, and they're going to take charge. But they view this person as someone is going to come down, and they're going to kind of, like, lay down the hammer. This all-powerful king is going to take over and rid evil from the world. But we know through the story of Jesus, and we talk about him a lot here at the Well, he takes a totally whole new different approach that people don't really recognize as this idea of who they thought this king was going to be. So then Micah then takes us to that point again of 6:8 where he's telling us the things that we need to do. He's like, you know what? You don't have to worry about anything. This king is going to come. But you just need to live in this way with God. So that's where we're kind of going to get into this first bit of that in this series where I'm going to hit on justice. So to start off, what is justice? What does that look like in the Bible? What is biblical justice? And so essentially, if we go all the way back to Genesis, we look at the beginning of where we all started, is God created us as humans to be set apart from all other creatures. That's why we have free will. That's why we're able to make our own decisions. He created us kind of ruling over all other beings and kind of as the superior beings. And so he set us apart from all other living things, but we're made in his image. So this isn't just something to where, like, he was like, yeah, I'm just going to make these creatures and, like, they're going to be cool. No, I'm going to take a part of myself and I'm going to insert it to these beings that I really care about. So it starts there. But because we are made in his image, that means all humans, no matter your skin color, no matter your gender, no matter your, like, religion, no matter any of the variables you want to throw out there and insert into that sentence, we are all equal in the eyes of God. That's big. Like, that's huge. So if we are equal in his eyes, then that means we have the holy right to be treated with dignity and fairness across the board. Whether you live in America or whether you live in another country or whether you, you know, have a different socioeconomic status than somebody else, everybody deserves that dignity and respect. And it's a God-given right. Like God said, this is what I want you to do as in my image, because these are the things that I hold true. So that's where we kind of get into, like, this justice aspect. So there's two different types of justice. There's the one where, you know, we've got retributive justice, which is like, okay, you do something unjust, you do something wrong, you do something against, like, normal expectations, and you're going to get the consequence of that. So if I rob a bank probably and get caught, I'm going to go to jail. And so that's kind of the consequence of that. If you do something wrong, there's going to be a consequence for your action. But there's this other type of justice that is, like, throughout the whole Bible that's really, really awesome, and it's called restorative justice. And so that word restore, like, that's like you're making new. Like, God talks about that a lot, you know, like restoring the people of Israel back to, you know, his chosen people. There's restorations all throughout the Bible. And so we come to this idea where restorative justice is those that are unrightfully hurt or wronged, they're restored and given back what was taken from them. So this is the kind of justice that I really want to hit on tonight, is this idea of restorative justice. We kind of all get the aspect of, you know, like when you were little, you did something wrong, you got put in timeout. Like, that was your consequence. But this restorative idea where we're making things new again, we're bringing things back that have been taken from you, is just something I really feel that, like, God's really going to try to tell us a little bit more about tonight. And so this idea of justice, I'm like sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, justice, 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 just us, just us. So this idea that it starts with us. Who's going to make the change? Who's going to stand up for the people and the causes that we care about? So kind of figuring out that this starts with you. This starts with us. This starts with advocating for others and showing this radical selflessness, and just kind of having that become our new way of life. Easy, right? Yeah, radical selflessness. Yes. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. So when we come to these ideas of this radical selflessness, what does that look like? The Bible has some really great examples for us, so we don't kind of have to figure it out on our own. And so I love the parable of the Good Samaritan and that kind of story in Luke 10, 30-35. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to read that out for us. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side of the road. He didn't want to get too close. And so too, the Levite, go back a little bit. There we go. When he came to the same place and saw the same man, he also passed by on the other side of the road. But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And when he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have." So there's one really awesome man who I think it's important we recognize this week in particular. Who has heard of Martin Luther King? Anyone? Right. Super small celebrity in the world of like doing really awesome things for people. And so actually yesterday was the 50th anniversary of his assassination. So we've kind of been celebrating that here on campus and just celebrating him and all he did, as well as like mourning his death, which I think is important. But let's look at who that person is. So he's a reverend, so Christian. That was one thing that came through in a lot of his speeches that he gave. And I think we've all experienced to some extent, being a Christian is hard. You have to be different. You have to stand out. You don't look like the normal mold of people because we do things that are a little crazy sometimes. And people look at us and they're like, why are you giving your food to somebody else that has none? Like, that seems a little crazy. So Dr. King, that's why he stood out. He believed in things a different way, kind of like we do here at the Well, of just believing in Jesus. That takes a little faith. And many thought he was crazy and that he would never make a change. Civil rights would never be a thing that would happen. Blacks and whites would be segregated forever. Like, that's the place that those people needed to be. The whites are the superior race. And he said, no. Because let's go back to that point of we're all equal in God's eyes. He got that. And so there's some really great quotes that he has. And one of them in particular, I have them up here for us so we can visualize them, is refers to the Good Samaritan passage. And he talks and says, if the first man thinks, if I stop, what is going to happen to me? That's why he doesn't stop. He goes to the other side of the road because he says, I don't want to get in this mess. I don't want to have to give my money. I don't want to have to give food. I don't want to have to help this guy. No, I don't have the time for this. He doesn't stop to look. But the other man, what's happening in his mind is he's saying, if I don't stop, what is going to happen to him? So it's two different ways of thinking, two different ways of looking at the same situation from two different lenses. One's a lens of selfishness, of what can I do to help myself, and the other one is a lens of selflessness. So realizing that these two people see this man in totally different ways and see in a way of response, which is that radical selflessness again. Of I'm going to give my money, I'm going to put him on my donkey, I'm going to give him food and wine, and I'm going to cleanse him, and then I'm going to come back to the innkeeper and say, keep him and like make him well, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to compensate you, whatever it takes. That's the kind of thing we're trying to like strive towards when we're looking in our world and we're looking what's around us. And, you know, Martin Luther looked around and he saw, this is the injustice I'm seeing in the world, and this is going to be my cause that I'm going to fight for. He also has another quote that I think is really awesome. I mean, everything he said was a truth bomb. But human progress is neither automatic or inevitable. Every step towards the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless exertions and passionate concerns of dedicated individuals. So he's telling us, this isn't going to be easy. You're going to have to make sacrifices. You are going to struggle. It's going to be really hard, but it's going to be worth it. And so I think if we look at his life, we looked what he lived for. He lived for equality. He lived for his cause of everyone should be treated the same, with the same respect and the same dignity, that same God-given quality that we all have because we're made in his image. We're all equal. And he died fighting for it. To the day he died, he fought for it. And so I think he recognized something that we talked about a few nights ago. Mallory preached about the enemy, which we like to recognize as real. And so I think it's important to recognize that there is evil in the world. And it's trying to feed into that part of us. It's trying to stop us from doing those things that we feel uncomfortable with. And the reason why we feel uncomfortable is because that's fed in fear. Sadie talked earlier about how the enemy operates off of that fear. And so I think it's important to recognize that the enemy is using that to tear us apart. He's using that to take us out of the body of Christ, so that when it comes to that, just like the Justice League, they can't do it alone. They needed a team. So I think it's important, too, to recognize that we aren't in this alone when it comes to this idea of justice. But I think realizing that the enemy uses fear to stop us a lot of the time. But I think what creates the change in that is, one, we need to recognize. So we need to recognize that slavery is still real, that people are suffering of hunger, that people are still oppressed, that people, there's children that are starving. We need to recognize those things are still real, and that they're still present, and we need to raise our consciousness to notice that. So taking the time to not get desensitized, because that can happen a lot. I know I can feel that in, you know, we keep getting all these things thrown at us. Another school shooting. Another moment of where, you know, someone is, you know, shot by a cop. Another moment of, you know, a nation being bombed. Like, that's rough. That's heavy to live in a world where we just keep getting hit with it and hit with it and hit with it. And what do? We're like, man, I can't process these emotions. This is really heavy. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to cope. And so I'm just going to kind of like get to this point where I'm just not going to feel. And that's what we don't want to do. We need to keep feeling it, even though the feelings are hard and they're heavy. So I think we really need to look at the standards of justice that God holds for himself. And that's the same that he also holds for us. Because we are God's representatives on this earth. If he didn't think that we could do it, he'd be here. If he thought that we were incapable, he would just go ahead and take care of it. But that's not the case. He knows that we are capable. He knows that we can create change. And he knows that we can do this crazy idea of this radical selflessness. And so I think we also need to recognize that, one, Jesus came and died for us, not just us that, like, you know, we're way in the future in this time, but at that time he was dying for those that were guilty. Everybody was looking at him like, you are crazy. Even his disciples are sitting there and they're saying, why are you going and hanging out with the prostitutes? Those aren't our people. Why are you going and hanging out with the tax collectors? They're full of greed. And Jesus said, but those are the people that need me. That's why I'm here. You all get it, and you're going to be my team. Like, you're my best friends. We're going to figure this out together, and you're going to play your part after I'm gone. But, like, these are the people that need me now. So that's why he put himself in those spaces. And so I think recognizing, you know, again, it's not easy. It's not easy to go hang out with somebody that thinks in a totally different way than you. Because we don't like things that are uncomfortable. Because fear. So I think we need to recognize it, and we need to pray against it, and we just need to look to God to, like, give us the strength to follow these passions that we're feeling. So I think the main thing we want to try to look at is, what does this actually look like? Because, like I said, this is heavy. but how can we, like, make this practical? How can we make this to a point where you can, like, sit down and compartmentalize this enough to say, okay, here I am. Ashland, Ohio, how am I going to end world hunger? Yeah, I don't want to bust your bubble, but you probably aren't, and you're not definitely not going to do it alone. So we kind of have to take this and look at this in a way of figuring out, what is your cause? What do you stand for? Who will you fight for? I think it's important, just like those, the members of the Justice League, look at your past. Look at who has taken a stand for you in those times where you were being oppressed. And who, even the playing field, who's that person that kind of like stepped up and said, oh, no, what's happening here isn't right, and I'm going to take a stand. So they think looking at your experiences and seeing who gave you that chance, But also then we're going to kind of dig into what is the thing that is really your passion. So there's a couple verses, because I think it's important. Yes, what do we fight for? But what is God fighting for? Because, you know, he's the one that, you know, came up with and created all of this. So I think it's important to look at what he has for us. And there's two verses in particular. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 says, "Speak up for those that cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." And then in Jeremiah 22, 3, it says, "This is what the Lord says, do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to a foreigner, the fatherless or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood for this place." So here again, God is telling us, who are we looking for? Who are the people that need us because of our privilege, because of where we are, because of the resources that I maybe have that other people don't? So I think that God is fighting for, one, he's fighting for us, right? He's fighting for our hearts. He's fighting for our salvation. But I think it's really important that he's also really fighting for those that don't know him. So he's fighting for the oppressed, those that are blinded by their greed, by their power. He's fighting for those that sell their body for money. He's fighting for those that go unnoticed, those that go unseen. That's who he's fighting for. But he can't, well, I mean, he can do it on his own, but that's not how he wants to do things. He wants to use us and kind of what we have to offer. So I think it's important to look at, where do we see injustice happening in our world? I'm sure a couple places can come to mind when you think world. We're thinking big picture, right? So that's the world hunger. That's the human sex trafficking. That's those big picture items. But let's try to, like, take this down a bit. So we've got world. Where do we see it in our nation? Where do we see it in our state? Where do we see it in Ashland, Ohio? Where do we see it on our campus? So I think these are all really important questions that we need to be asking ourselves, is who are the oppressed and the suffering that are around us right now? Who are those people? So I think you can have really, really big plans and big ideas of who you're passionate for, who you see as those that are oppressed. But I think it's also realizing, where are your access points? Where can you touch from where you are? Where can you start? And where can you then let it grow from? And just deciding how you can be that change agent. Where can you insert yourself into a certain place and do justice for others? But I think then also realizing and remembering who God is and how he then responds. So as you came in tonight, you got these little cards. And it's got those big questions on it, right? So we got the what justice do you see happening in this world, the nation, our state and national, and on our campus. So I want you to be thinking about those things. But also, what is your cause? What are you standing for? Are you standing for the homeless and the hungry in Ashland? Are you standing for children that maybe don't have a really great home life? Are you standing for people that are sitting alone in convo because they really just haven't found the place that they fit in yet? Who are you standing for? And I think realizing that point of, like, touching where you can, starting small, letting it grow, and remembering who God is. Because that's where it all starts, is remembering the power that he's given us, the truth he tells us in his word, and just responding with that radical selflessness. So I'm going to go ahead and invite the band back up as we kind of just hit on this last point of, if we go back to the Justice League, we go back to this movie, that gives us this message of importance of a team. So you don't have to do it alone. You're not in it alone. And when we work for the greater good, we're able to accomplish good things together. So I think you need to decide, who are you assembling to be on your team? Who are those people? Maybe it's people that are already doing what you want to do. Maybe it's people that are already fighting for those causes and inserting yourself into those spaces, creating connections and creating contacts. But on the back of this card, I have some resources and ways that you can get involved and start that way of thinking. So I'm sure as we enter into like time of worship, I really want you to be thinking about what is your cause? Who can you fight for from where you stand and the power that you have in this place? But we've got really great things that you can just go ahead and get inserted that are kind of already pre-set up, and there's people already fighting, which is awesome. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, Adam's talked about this new passion that he's starting of Project 116. They're going to be doing these really awesome things, and they're trying to build this space to be able to do some justice in some people's lives and to fight for some people, whether that's serving breakfast to people who don't have the money to feed themselves. Maybe it's, you know, working with the counseling on aging. Maybe it's working with the access program and students who are new to this country and are trying to, like, figure things out. I mean, maybe it's something, you know, as simple as going and walking a dog who just doesn't have anybody to take care of them. They don't have their forever home yet. Maybe it's as simple as going to freerice.com, answering some questions, and donating to people that need food. So there's ways where you can go get really big, but there's also places that you can start really small. So there'll be people up here tonight here to pray for you. But I want to look at prayer in a little bit of a different way. If you have identified what your cause and your passion is and who you want to fight for, I want you to come up and receive prayer for that. I want you to be empowered to not let, like, after tonight, like, right, we're all like, pumped. Yes, let's go do things for people. Like, let's help people who don't have the resources. But what happens when you leave these four walls? Life sets back in. Classes. I have a test to study for. I don't want that to end here tonight when you walk out these doors. So I want to have people praying for you, praying for those passions and praying for those causes, and just to create those stirrings and just praying for that path of where you can touch. So definitely, just as we enter into worship, just be thinking about what's your cause, who are you going to fight for? And realizing that it's going to take a little radical selflessness. And that's not going to be easy, but that you don't have to do it alone. So let me pray for us. Yeah, God, you are so much bigger than what we understand. Because we know that you can do everything. You have the power. And I think it's important to recognize that you could, in a moment, end world hunger. In a moment, could end chaos. But realizing that, where does that put us? What does that allow us to do? How does that allow us to be a part of this bigger picture? So, God, I just pray tonight that as you've spoken words that are pretty rough and pretty heavy, that you allow us to just take some time to process. And I just pray over the space tonight, Lord, that as we enter into worship, those causes that we want to fight for, that you've laid those on our heart. And that you're saying, one, I don't want you to do this alone, because one, you're not alone. I'm here fighting with you. And that I want you to make a team. So God, I just pray that you continue to stir those passions and that they just continue to grow like a wildfire tonight as we leave this space. And that justice doesn't end here. Yes, God, you give us the power to do amazing, awesome things like Martin Luther King. But you also give us the power to touch the spaces that are right here on this campus. So, Lord, I pray against fear, that it has no place, and that as we step up and fight for a cause, Lord, that we are also know that you're just fighting right along with us. Love you and all that you've done.